The reading this morning is the parable of the lost son, which is Luke 15, verse 11 to 32, and can be found on page 1049 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give him my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the field to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord.
For those of you who have been coming along to St. Leonard's this year, you know that one of the series that we've been looking at has been entitled Kingdom Lifestyle, which is all about really what it means in practical terms to live as a follower of Jesus. And Joan, if you'd like to bring my first slide up. Today's theme is really around looking about the fact that we're not paupers, we're princes. And I want to look particularly at this whole idea of the father's provision, which is particularly appropriate for today because today is Father's Day. Now, for those of you who, for whatever reason, are not dads, please don't feel this isn't for you, because hopefully what I'm going to say today is appropriate for everybody. But I felt that it was important to talk about being a dad on Father's Day, because for me, being a father is a critical part of my calling as a Christian. And it's the same for being mums, for being a brother, for being a sister. One of the things that always gets my goat is people that have this tendency to make a division between what I call the spiritual and the secular. They say, well, you know, being a Christian is all about what we do in church and when we pray and when we read our Bibles. And actually, God isn't interested about the things that we do during the day. There's a technical phrase for this. It's rubbish. Being a Christian is 24/7. I am not a dad by accident, and every father in this church today is not a dad by accident. God has called us to be dads, and it is a critical part of our Christian calling and being a Christian. Joan, could I have the next slide? Ooh, and the next one. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's true to say that we all want to be that, don't we? We all want to be the best dad in the world. Now, I might be going barking here, and I might be only relating to myself, but I do find that being a dad is hard work sometimes, isn't it? Imagine this. You arrive home from work. You are standing at the door, and behind the door are your cherubs. They're waiting to greet you. And you want to talk to them. You want to, you know, hear what they've been doing and everything. You open that door and you turn into the grump monster because you have had a hard day at work and you are tired. And when the children fling themselves at your foot like a rugby number 10, I'm not a rugby fan, by the way, so I apologise if that was completely wrong. All of a sudden you just think, ugh. And you know, you want to hear what they've been doing, but actually all you also want to do is just slump in front of the TV and fall asleep. And you just think, this isn't right. And Joan, if I have the next slide. The problem is like pressures of time and everything else that's going on. You get to the weekend and you want to spend quality time with your kids. You want to have fun. You want to do things that they want to do, all the rest of it. And yet there's all these other things to do. You know, the house seems to be constantly falling down and you need to repair things. And your wife said to you that if you don't repair the shed, you'll be living in the shed. You know, you need to see your parents. There's paperwork that you have to do. There's bills that you have to pay. There's those people that you call friends that you feel that you really ought to see, but you haven't seen for ages. And you feel like that person there, you feel pulled in so many different directions that rather than feeling like the best dad in the world, you feel like this gentleman here. That's a man letting his small child do the hoovering. I would never let my son do the hoovering. He'd probably hoover up all my CDs. But you end up feeling like the worst father in the world because your time just seems to be split between so many things. You just don't seem to have the energy that you want. And it's the same, I'm sure, and I know talking to my wife, whether you're a mum, you know, it's the same when you want to spend time with your brothers and sisters and all the rest of it. We just end up feeling like we don't have anything. We feel like paupers. You know, God's called us to be this dad. He's called us to be a mum. We don't have anything. Close your eyes for a moment. I want to come with me on a journey. And particularly the fathers in the congregation, I want you to come with me down the pub. You have managed to get some time with a friend of yours, and you've gone down the local, and he's gone to the bar, and he's opened up his wallet, and all these moths have come out, and he's buying you a beer, or whatever your tipple is of choice, and he's taking a long time. And you've had one of those days. And you've got home and your children have run to you and you've been grumpy and miserable and your wife's incredibly glad you've gone to the pub because she doesn't want the grump monster in the house. And you're just thinking about how you seem to be failing at everything. You can open your eyes now. Walking towards you is a figure. And he comes up and he sits down at your table and it's Jesus. And he looks at you in the eyes. And you know that he knows what you're feeling because he's Jesus. And he knows what's happened at home because he's Jesus and what's happened at work, etc. Joan, can I have the next slide? What would he say to us? Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a funny feeling. I think his expression to me would be a bit like this, Joan. I just think he'd say, oh, Rob, again? You are the most miserable, grumpy man that God has ever created. But what would he say? Hold that thought for a moment, and I want us to look at the story. that we heard today. Now, I'm sure many of you thought, oh, I've heard this one before, lots of times. I'm sure when Dan was given the reading, he said, really? And it was interesting because when I was speaking to Jeremy and mentioning about using this passage, I thought, yeah, I know this one. But when I came to read it in the context of Father's Day, a couple of things struck me, which seriously I never thought of before. The first one is this. The father in this story had a very, very difficult time with his children. Both of them. The younger one is obvious. He was a party animal. He wasn't particularly interested in his dad. He wasn't particularly interested in his father's business. He certainly wasn't going to help. He just wanted his money and he was going to go off and squander it doing heaven knows what. Now, one of the interesting things about Jewish society in that time, and it's the same today, is that generally you tend to inherit your parents' money when they've died. So the son going to his father and saying, look, Dad, you're taking ages in popping your clogs. I want the money now. Essentially, he's saying to Dad, I wish you were dead. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? And he knew full well what he was going to spend his money on. So his son disappears off. And this was in the days before internets and text messages and all the rest of it. He didn't know where his son was. He had a pretty good idea what he was doing. He had no idea whether he was alive or dead. And to be fair, the older son wasn't a great deal easier to deal with. Because, and I might be reading between the lines here, you know, he undoubtedly helped much more with the business. And he was undoubtedly probably a lot more reliable. But by heaven, was he a miserable what's it? I imagine he was incredibly serious and he did not get on with his younger brother at all. And I imagine he made it quite plain that he didn't get on with his younger brother. And therefore the relationships within that family were incredibly drawn out and tense. I was asked recently why I was a Christian. And there's a number of reasons why I'm a Christian. But one of the reasons why I am is that the Bible for me is incredibly real. All of the characters in the Bible, with the exception of Jesus, are flawed. They are real human beings. And the Bible talks of real relationships. You know, this story was set 2,000 years ago. It is real now. It's about tensions in families, about difficulties, about being a parent. And that really struck me. God knows how hard it is for us to be fathers and mothers, to be brothers and sisters. He knows how difficult relationships are. And God particularly knows how difficult it is to be a father because he's a father to all of us. If parenthood is a roller coaster, having me as a son for God must be like a roller coaster blindfolded. You know, one moment I'm great and the next moment I'm absolutely dreadful. Our Heavenly Father knows what it is like to be a father, and he knows exactly what it's like for us as parents and when we're in relationships. He understands. Joan, can I have the next line? Meanwhile, back in the pub, Jennifer, have the... Your friend really is taking a long time with that drink. I don't know where he's gone. No, he's disappeared off to play pool. But the first thing Jesus would say to us, I'm sure, is this. Is exactly that. That your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, understands. He knows the challenges of being a parent, of being in a relationship. Absolutely. And the second thing that struck me from this story is the whole idea of God's provision. Joan, if I could have the... When we look at the father, now, traditionally, the story is always interpreted that the father in the story is God, and that's absolutely right. But I think we tend to look at the father and think, I could never love my children like that. You can't be having a laugh. You know, the younger son, for example, was an absolute rogue. Right, he comes and asks for the money. The father gives it to him. He disappears off to heaven knows where. You know, that money was hard earned. Right, I mean, we don't know what the father's done, it does in this story, but we assume he's some kind of businessman. But that money was hard earned, and yet half of it's just disappeared off up the road to be spent on wine, women and pigs. You know, it's going to vanish. And everybody in the neighbourhood knows that that man's been made to look like a fool by his son. And what does he do? He looks out the window every single day, praying that that son's coming back. And when he hears that he's coming back, he makes a complete fool of himself by running down the road, throwing the best robe on him and throwing the biggest party that that place has ever seen. That is extraordinary love. And yet he doesn't stop there. The party's in full swing. Everybody's there except for someone, Mr. Grumpy. He's out the back doing heaven knows what. And his dad knows he's not there. Because I probably can guess he thought his older son was going to react like that. And so what does he do? Does he say, actually, I can't be bothered. I'm so thrilled my younger son's back. We're having a fantastic party. No, he goes and finds him. And he pleads with him to come and join the celebration. You know, one of the things that struck me with that story is we don't know that the older son did join in. It doesn't say in the story. He could still be Mr. Grumpy. But his father went and sought him out. Now, that's astonishing love. And we can look at that and think, I can't be that loving. I can't be that caring. But the fact of the matter is that we actually have those resources at our disposal because of what Jesus has done. Joan, if I can have the next slide. One of the things that we've been looking at in this series of Kingdom Lifestyle is that when we become a Christian, everything changes. When we believe that Jesus died and rose again for us, God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, comes and lives within us. Now, I don't know about you. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I tend to come out with phrases like that without really thinking what they mean. What I'm saying when I say that is that God's Holy Spirit, who was present in creation, who rose Jesus from the dead, lives in me as a Christian. What an extraordinary thing to say. And we have those resources at our disposal to enable us to live as followers of Jesus. We have the resources at our disposal to love like that as fathers and as mothers and in all the relationships that we're in. Because becoming a Christian changes not just our relationship with God, but our relationship with other people. We're not paupers. We're princes. We have that all there. Now, I'm not for one moment saying that when you become a Christian, all of a sudden it's like, whee, everything's easy. And, you know, you walk in the door, you know, after a hard day at work and your children run up to you and all of a sudden you're super dad. The difficulties don't go away, but God's Holy Spirit gives you the strength. He gives you the energy, the patience and the wisdom to be a mother, to be a father, to be a son, a daughter, a brother or sister. Those resources are there and available. We only have to ask and rely. I once heard a talk to a men's group where this gentleman said, he said, the thing is with dads, he said, we need to try harder. I felt great after that. And actual fact, we don't. We need to ask God. We need to let go and let the Holy Spirit do his work in us. And sometimes I feel God's just saying to me, Rob, get out of the way. And just let me do my thing. Joan, the next slide. Meanwhile, back in the pub, where is he? He's eloped, hasn't he? He's run away. He's gone. And fortunately, Jesus is still talking to us. And I believe the second thing he's saying to us is this. Joan, if I could have the next, thank you. And the next bit is again that. Is through what Jesus has done and belief in him and the Holy Spirit coming to live in us, we are princes. We have all the resources that we need to be those fantastic dads, to be those fantastic mums that we want to be and God has called us to be. Joan, can I have the next slide? I don't know what our circumstances are here today, but I just feel that God is saying to us that he understands. He is there with us. He's called us to be great dads, great mums, great grandparents, great sons, daughters, friends. And he doesn't just say, okay, off you go now, get on with it. But he gives us everything that we need to do that. We are princes. We are rich beyond imagination because our Heavenly Father. And I believe in particular, as it's Father's Day today, that Jesus would say to us, Dad, you rock. You know, you are fantastic and you have all that you need from me to do the job that you are called to do. Happy Father's Day.